in the shadow of the headsman's axe. "Jasmine," he muttered, "and call a sow beauty." He flung the door hanging aside, shouted downstairs, "What is it now?" It was what it always was, nagging, unconnected with the root of her dissatisfaction, an interruption of his studies as a payback for what she fancied was his having misspent their lives. He could have become a man of consequence in Orr. He could have given her a great house, overstuffed with fawning servants. He could have draped her in cloth of gold. He could have fed her tumble-down fat with meat at every meal. Instead, he had chosen a scholar's life, disguising his name and profession, dragging her to this bleak, haunted break in the old forest. He had given her nothing but squalor, icy winters, and indignities perpetrated by the Eternal Guard. Bowmans stamped down the narrow, squeaky, treacherous stairway. He cursed the woman, spat on the floor, thrust silver into her desiccated paw, drove her away with a plea that supper, for once, be a decent meal. "Indignity," he thought. "I'll tell you about indignity, you old crow. I'll tell you what it's like to live with a perpetual whiner, a hideous old bag of vapid, juvenile dreams." "Stop it, Bowmans," he muttered. "She's the mother of your son. Give her her due. She hasn't betrayed you." If nothing else, they still shared the hope represented by the map on silk. It was hard for her, waiting, unaware of his progress, knowing only that nearly 4 decades had yielded no tangible result. The bell on the shop door tinkled. Bowmans clutched at his shopkeeper persona. He scuttled forward, a fat, bald little man with blue-veined hands folded before his chest. "Tokar," he bowed slightly. "I didn't expect you so soon." Tokar was a trader from Orr, a friend of Bowman's son, Stancil. He had a bluff, honest, irreverent manner Bowmans deluded himself into seeing as the ghost of his own at a younger age.
"Didn't plan to be back so soon, Bo, but antiques are the rage. It surpasses comprehension. You want another lot, already. You'll clean me out."
Unsaid, the silent complaint. "Bowmans, this means replenishment work. Time lost from research."
"The domination is hot this year. Stop pottering around, Bo. Make hay and all that. Next year the market could be as dead as the taken."
"They're not. Maybe I'm getting too old, Tokar. I don't enjoy the rows with Bisand anymore. Hell, 10 years ago I went looking for him. A good squabble killed boredom. The digging grinds me down, too. I'm used up. I just want to sit on the stoop and watch life go by." While he chattered, Bowman set out his best antique swords, pieces of armor, soldiers' amulets, and an almost perfectly preserved shield. A box of arrowheads with roses engraved, a pair of broad-bladed thrusting spears, ancient heads mounted on replica shafts.
"I can send you some men. Show them where to dig. I'll pay you commission. You won't have to do anything."
"That's a damned fine axe, Bo. Telcurry. I could sell a barge-load of Telcurry weaponry."
"Ukiteli, actually."
A twinge from his ulcer. "No, no helpers." That was all he needed, a bunch of young hotshots hanging over his shoulder while he made his field calculations.
"Just a suggestion.